It's Jenny and Bill with Simple Bath and Kitchen.
We know the world feels a little crazy sometimes, but your home, that should be your safe place.
A beautiful kitchen for your family, a bathroom that feels like your own private retreat.
At Simple Bath and Kitchen, we have a fine-tuned process that makes remodeling something that you can actually enjoy.
Because when everything outside is unpredictable,
your home should be exactly what you need it to be.
Visit us at simplebathandkitchen.com to regain your peace today.
We make it simple for you.
141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we get set for the final weekend of League Cup and pre-season action. Rangers sign Brazilian striker Danilo on a 5-year deal from Feyenoord. Hibs are humbled in Andorra with it all to do at Easter Road next week. And we're on the eve of the final set of Viaplay Cup fixtures with lots still to be decided. I'm Gordon Duncan and joining me tonight is Hugh Keevans.
Michael Beale's going for the most positive philosophy of all, Gordon. You hit them where it hurts. And if you score more goals than the opposition, you win more than you lose and you pick up trophies. That's what Danilo is all about. That's what Sam Lammers is all about. That's what Cyril Dessers is all about. That's what Abdallah Sima is all about. So a lot of money being spent by Rangers. It has to come good.
01419511025. That is the number you need. Our final 1 hour show of the summer. And then it's really back to business next week with some exciting changes for Clyde One Super Scoreboard in the near future as well. So we'll tell you more about that as the show progresses. But it is the same number. Some things don't change. 01419511025. Rangers fans, it has been bubbling away for quite some time, even away on my summer holidays. I noticed it before I came back. Danilo, lots of talk on social media, and now it is confirmed, it has happened. What do you make of it? Quite simply, the signing of Danilo, what do you make of that, Rangers fans? Definitely, and we're only here till 7 o'clock, have no intention of ending this show without speaking to a Hibs fan, at least one, because results like last night are, unfortunately, it feels like they're all too common in the Scottish summer. About as common as disappointing weather, it seems. But an absolute disaster for Hibs in Andorra. Still plenty of time to turn it around. It might be convincing at Easter Road next week. It might all be forgotten. But until such times, how do you look back on a defeat against Andorran opposition, Hibs fans? 01419511025. We'll get stuck right into it later in the show, Hugh, but a flavour of your feelings on that one?
A situation not helped by idiotic statements made by the manager, Lee Johnson. I took out two or three of them. He said it's a bit strong to call it an embarrassment. Oh, really? Embarrassment is an understatement. It was pathetic and shambolic. They remind me of Cheltenham when my dad was the manager of that side in League Two, he said. Is that really supposed to help the Hibs fans that Inter Descaldes looked like Cheltenham in League Two? And the last daft statement, we have to be careful not to be negative. Who are you kidding me?
It's the negative capital of the footballing world. It'll never catch on. But anyway, 01419511025. It would be nice to hear from you, Hibs fans. Definitely want to go over that one. Rangers fans, like we said, the big signing news today is Danilo. It's a fair whack of money. I know there's a lot of debate, as there always is, about what that amount is, but it's clearly a fair whack of money by Scottish standards either way. So what do you make of that outlay? It's a long contract as well. It's clearly one that Rangers really wanted to pursue and have got it over the line. So what do you make of it, Rangers fans? Pick up the phone and let us know. It is the final weekend of League Cup action as well. Trying to make sure none of the big teams fall by the wayside, Hugh, because it's a very unforgiving format. I mean, I personally, if anyone cares, I quite like it, and I think people do like it, but it's unforgiving because if you are a Premiership team, you don't get much credit for getting through the group stage, but you certainly get stick if you go out, and then it puts you up against it going into the league season.
Derek McInnes at Kilmarnock has already gone on record as saying that the whole thing is too early in the season, but we're stuck with it and you have to make the best of it. Kilmarnock are going along quite well in that direction. Stephen McLean at St Johnston has already paid the price of early season disappointment. St Johnston out. It's embarrassing, I think, for Premiership sides to go out at this stage. So that's what they'll be thinking of tomorrow. Your Motherwell boys can finish top of the group.
I'm going to go along. I'm looking forward to it.
Yep. So, you know, Stuart Kettlewell is looking after business. The rest need to be careful.
0141 951 1025. Come on, we're only here until 7 o'clock, so let's not waste any time. Get your thoughts in on the Danilo signing for Rangers, the Hibs result. You can suggest the word. Is it an embarrassment? Is it a humiliation? Does that come next week depending on the outcome of the second leg? Is there anything else out there, Celtic fans? What have you got for us tonight? League Cup action coming up as well, so a fair bit to get through, and we would love for you to join us. How's the summer been, Hugh Keevans? I feel like I've never been away. Quarter past six last night, I think we had a call about a ticket allocation or something, and it made my entire summer break fade into the distance. But how's it been?
My first Saturday without the programme
was tough, isn't it?
Well, that was the most delightful one, because I took Mrs. Keevans out and we went to my spiritual home in Partick, where I come from.
Lovely.
And went around the trendy spots of the West End, up the top of Byers Road, that kind of thing. And, you know, I had a lovely night at the theatre. The man who wrote the Tommy Byrne story for the theatre kindly invited me, the man who wrote the Tommy Byrne story in book form, to go and see the show at the King's. And entirely unknown to me, in walked Rosemary Burns, Tommy's wife, and she and Mrs. Keevan sat down as if it was 30 years ago and nothing had ever changed. So it was a lovely night.
You're a cultured man. I don't think many of your fellow Clyde One Super Scoreboard pundits spent their summer at the theatre. That's just, when I spoke to Gordon Dale last night, it's just not the impression I got from him when I asked him what he'd been up to.
Unless it's the operating theatre.
But anyway, 01419511025. Right, let's get stuck in on some of your calls, because I said it would be nice to hear from a Hibs fan, and we've got one first up tonight, which maybe tells its own story. Derek is a Hibs fan from Kilmarnock. How would you sum up your feelings, Derek, after losing to Interclub de Escaldes of Andorra last night?
No boiled. Absolutely no boiled. It's only a game against a European team that we very rarely get today, so nothing to worry about. I would be more worried if it was a Celtic or a Rangers fan getting beat to a team like that. We don't get the opportunity to get into Europe very often, so it's a one-off for us.
Not really a one-off. You lost 7-0 to Malmo not so very long ago, so it doesn't reflect well.
Yeah, but before we even get, when you say you're not bothered, Derek, do you mean because you think Hibs are going to turn this around next week?
Well, this is the thing we don't know. We managed to get a goal late on, John Yule scored, so they've always got the chance at Easter Road, so any other team. But why I phoned in last night was because the Celtic fan that was on, he was ragging us. But what have they done in Europe with the millions of pounds that they've got in the bank and the players that they've got and all the supporters that they've got?
Well, I think we're talking about scale here. You know, Hibs, as I say, they've had their major embarrassments in Europe. Malmo losing 7-0 at Easter Road was a shocker. But Celtic, you're absolutely right. Celtic in Europe, whether it was under Ange Postecoglou and indeed Brendan Rodgers the first time around, were absolutely nothing to write home about. But they're playing Champions League football, Derek. I mean, you're playing an Andorran side. No team from Andorra has ever made the third qualifying round. That's how lowly they are. So you can't just dismiss it. Hibs are in a league here where they want to not compete with Celtic and Rangers because they can't, but they want to be the best of the rest. And at the moment, they look far from being that.
Do you think they'll turn it around next week, Hugh? What does that change? You know, because we've been through all this before and you're an old hack.
Yeah.
You know, newspapers love to sort of produce the article the next day of all the embarrassing ones before, and we almost know them now off by heart, of Media Bratislava and Kaunas,
Lincoln Red Imps,
and that's a really, it's probably a good example in the sense that Celtic won the second leg and actually got to the Champions League group stages that year. So of course it was a humiliating night, but you get over it in the second leg and it becomes ancient history. I mean, Lee Johnson needs to get over this next week,
without doubt. You only have to go back a year. Graeme Alexander, Motherwell, Sligo Rovers, thanks lost to them that, at home, lost to them in the Republic of Ireland as well. And Graeme Alexander paid for that with his job. So Lee Johnson has not made the situation better by daft quotes about it's too strong to call it an embarrassment. It is an embarrassment. It was an embarrassment. And if he,
so you think it is, you know, you think you can take it as that 90 minutes. You don't see any benefit in almost waiting to see what happens because it is a two-legged affair.
Put it this way, Gordon. If Hibs at Easter Road do not put out a team from Andorra, and Joe Newell's goal was very important, it's only 2-1. It is an embarrassment, but it's an embarrassment that can be easily compensated for in Edinburgh next Thursday. If he doesn't compensate for the embarrassment, he's a goner.
Is that the obvious hope? I'm not going to patronise you with the very simple arithmetic lesson, but at 2-0, it felt really, really desperate. And then that Joe Newell goal, I mean, does it put a different complexion in things for you?
It does. It changes the whole situation. As I say, I would regard it as a disgrace, and I think I use the word advisedly, a disgrace if a team of Hibs standing in this country could not put out a team from Andorra. If they go out to Interclub de Scaldes, it is the low point in the club's history.
Wow, Derek, you agree with that?
No, I think it's total crap.
Oh, okay.
Honestly, I can't believe it. It's just like the media is making it what it is, isn't it?
Derek, it is Andorra in opposition though, right? Because Hugh's right, everything's Andorra, relative. I take your point, what you said earlier, to an extent, you know, because there are times when Hibs and Aberdeen and whoever it may be, and you can say, oh, you know, we're not expected to do much in Europe, and sometimes you come up against European opposition that you've not heard of, but that doesn't mean that they're not good, and certain leagues are getting stronger. But that can't be said here, Derek. This is Andorra. It is an Andorra in opposition. Hibs need to be winning those games, surely.
Yeah. That's your opinion. I mean, it doesn't really matter at the end of the day. It's only a European tie that we're probably not going to get through. And if we did, the next leg or the next round, Hibs will get beat again.
What does matter to you, Derek? If you can say this doesn't matter, what does matter to you as a Hibs fan and the club's reputation? What does matter to you?
We've got no chance. Somebody just said it there. We've got no chance of actually doing anything in Scotland because there's only two teams in Scotland, and that is the Old Firm. Well, we're not going that anymore.
Well, surely then, surely the desire to go and make some good memories and get some good results in Europe and try and punch above your weight or whatever becomes even more important rather than just rolling over and saying it's okay to be beaten by Andorran opposition.
I said to the guy last night, we went to the Groningen game last week, Kevin Van Veen, he did nothing but, it was a friendly, he did nothing but dive, tried to con the referee, and they're a European team. We beat them 2-1. They're a better team than what Andorran leagues are.
Yeah, exactly. No idea what that sort of means in connection to last night, Hugh. I mean, I don't get it. You know, it's great to see Kevin Van Veen again, for what it's worth. But anyway,
I just don't understand Derek's attitude. I don't know why he bothers supporting any team because he's saying it's Europe. It doesn't matter. We'll never get anywhere.
We'll lose. And by the way, there is a Hibs do face a potentially very difficult route to get to the group stages of the Conference League.
Yeah,
but that doesn't mean it becomes okay to not beat Andorran opposition.
They are a full-time professional side. We have five big clubs in our country: Celtic, Rangers, Hearts, Hibs and Aberdeen. So if you're the top five in this country, full-time professional, with a backroom staff behind Lee Johnson that doesn't come cheaply, last night's result is a farce.
I'm always loath to go too strong on the comparisons because ultimately you're talking different teams, different opposition, different circumstances, but it is increasingly annoying that we've got this back catalogue of Sligo, of Corners Quay Nomads, you know, the ones that were costly, you know, for our clubs, because we take the point, you know, we don't have massive budgets in a European context, and there will be times that you just come up against opposition that's too good for you, but we've got to stave off. We've got to, as a nation, we've got to start staving off the embarrassments, surely.
Yeah, and that's why I felt that one of the comments that Lee Johnson made about
let's hear from him then, because we, you know, we have sort of paraphrased a lot of what you said. This was Lee Johnson's reaction afterwards.
Well, I'm majorly disappointed with the first half performance. I thought we was really, really poor. You know, we didn't acclimatise, whether that was conditions, whether that was altitude. We have to be better, simply. And, you know, we took a bit of stick and that was fair. I think it's a wake-up call, that's for sure. You know, there was too many individual poor decisions, and that's the bit I can't put my finger on at this moment in time. I can come up with all the excuses in the world, altitude, heat, maybe we should have travelled the day earlier, but, you know, we should have been better in our decision-making and better in our execution. And the tie's not over, guys, you know. I think we've got to be careful not to be too negative in terms of certainly in-house, but yourselves as well, because there's a bit to do, we know, but it's not unturnable, this game, and I'm looking forward already to the Easter Road one, because I've got that bit between my teeth personally in terms of the aggression, and obviously I need the boys to show that as well.
There does have to be a bit of that, Hugh, a bit of calm, because if a team goes and has a very good result in the first leg of a European tie, people are always very quick to say, don't get carried away, it's only half time, you could still go out. The real discussion takes place if Hibs go out. If they go and win 3-0 next weekend, you know, it really tonight doesn't. Is it easy to fall into that trap of making it too big a deal?
I think he will go through. I think he'll go through fairly comfortably with the backing of the Easter Road crowd, but he sails close to the wind, Lee Johnson. You remember last season, El Sakiko, when Jim Goodwin was the one who paid the price for losing to Hibs at Easter Road, but he sails close to the wind, and he'd better be careful next week.
Bobby is a Hibs fan. Bobby, this time next week, will it all be forgotten? Will it be a straightforward evening at Easter Road and we move on?
In a word, yes. It's there's two games stick in my head. I remember Celtic going to Bratislava early season, losing 5-0.
Yep.
Very nearly turned it around in the second leg under Gordon Strachan, went on to have a great season. Rangers being 3-0 down to St Patrick's in a game that I think they came actually back and won when Lorenzo Amoruso was there. These pre-season games are a lottery. There's a lot of things getting worked on. There's a lot of players coming in. And do you know what? It's a sickener. I think everyone's seen the coverage on Twitter from the Hibs fans revolting. Completely unnecessary. It's not a big deal. I actually think next week the game will be won in the first 10 minutes. And this will all be forgotten about. We'll be on to Lucerne or the other team that we've been possibly drawn against in a fortnight's time. It's so quick. It's so rapid. The pre-season's been very condensed because of the World Cup. So, do you know what? I'm not concerned at all.
Fair enough. And I understand that, Hugh. That's what we just said. You know, as Bobby was coming on, that may well be the case. I think it certainly has to be. Or you'll be seeing plenty more videos like those Hibs fans last night. I'm sorry, but there is something objectively funny. It doesn't matter which team it is, for when you hear someone who says boo, but the sweary word before it to tee up the boo. It's magnificent. It really is, the comedic timing of it. Thank you very much to Bobby, who is a Hibs fan. 01419511025. Rangers fans, what do you make of the signing of Danilo? We'll get your thoughts next.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans is in the building, and I'm glad he's here, because I'm very keen to get his thoughts on some big changes coming up for Clyde One Super Scoreboard this season, and I will do it in the next couple of minutes. But some big breaking signing news today. Rangers have signed Danilo on a 5-year contract from Feyenoord. Danilo Pereira da Silva, if you're interested in the full name, Hugh. I think Danilo is the one that's catching on. I think everyone knows a lot about him now because it's been in the background for a while. 24-year-old striker, 12 goals for Feyenoord last season, winning the Eredivisie with Ajax and then Feyenoord last campaign. Brazilian striker, like we mentioned, and one of a few that Michael Beale has added to try and boost his attacking options. In fact, midfield to front, it'd be a pretty much completely different look potentially to Rangers, say, from 2 years ago. So let's bring in James, who is a Rangers fan. James, what do you make of that news today?
Good evening, gentlemen. Glad to have you back. And so I think it's a great signing for us. I think it's a higher caliber of player we're going after now. So I think the board have really backed Beale, and this is probably the cherry on top. So I think it's really exciting to have this many people through the door, and I think they all seem very capable. But there's just that little doubt in the back of my head, are we changing too much at the one time? So I don't know how well we're going to gel, but I think on paper, we're all we're improving across the pitch from middle to front, so really good.
I like the way James puts it, Hugh, because there's an acknowledgement there that it's on paper, and this is what's really difficult about this time of the season.
Yeah.
We've had players arrive who you think are going to be good that flop, and players who you've not heard much about that turn out to be very good. What you would say is, on paper, as James says, this looks like I'm going to word this carefully because I don't know if it's going to be a good signing. It looks like a serious signing from Rangers or some sort of statement. They've clearly put a lot of money into it. They clearly really wanted him. It's from a relatively big league, from a relatively big club. You know, it's one that Michael Beale clearly was really after. And yeah, and I get it. Only time will tell if it turns out to be a good signing or not. But you see what I mean? It seems like one that he really wanted.
This season is all about Michael Beale's recruitment. That will define whether Rangers are to bring the title back from Celtic Park or if his recruitment is suspect. Now, Danilo, for me, is the marquee signing. He's got the pedigree. He's a reasonable goal scorer at Feyenoord. He's big money by Scottish football standards. He'll be creeping towards the £6 million mark, I would imagine. He'll be on a very hefty wage. And, James and the other Rangers supporters will really be enthused, I think, by Danilo, Dessers, Lammers, Sima. My point about this is that Michael Beale is going for it big time, both in financial terms and in terms of his philosophy. He's going for a team who, middle to front, are going to hit the opposition where it hurts, and that there's no reason to suspect that anyone outside of Celtic will be able to live with them.
Yeah, I mean, James, the reported fee that came out of the Netherlands towards the end of last week, it was like £6 million, nearly 40 grand a week, I think. Michael Beale was quite keen at the weekend to get the message out that, you know, it's not as much as that. But I think either way, right, and we love that in this part of the world, arguing over transfer fees. Either way, it's clearly going to be a relatively high amount for Scottish standards. Let's all agree to disagree on that one at this stage on a Friday night. There is a lot of investment being put into Rangers' front line, hasn't there?
Yeah, very much so, because I think they're now talking about not the sort of spend so far this year. It's £15 million, which is more than spent a long time. But there's a lot of improvement needed, but I think the amount of wages that went out the door during the summer have freed up. I think it was good that Beale quashed that, like how much he was getting paid a week quite quickly, because you don't want other players in the squad thinking that this guy's on double or triple what they're currently on. So, yeah, I understand how wage structures work. But, no, it's just good to see the investment, because I think it's a big season for us. We just need to get through the European ties to get in, because back-to-back Champions Leagues group stages will certainly help going forward. But it's really good to see.
You would have to think, James, that the money that's been put out, I mean, Rangers have only taken back in a couple of million for Antonio Colak. So it does look on the face of it as if qualification for the Champions League group stages is a must for Michael Beale, not just in terms of prestige, but in terms of balancing the books.
There was an interview during the summer from Rangers. They're saying that the budget to spend for the squad wasn't dependent on qualification, so I think he was already backing in. I've got a funny feeling that if there's anyone going to go out, that's been to counter, whether it's Kamara or Hadji or whatever, because I know there's been talk about them leaving. But I just think it's, if anyone does leave, though, they need to replace. The squad's good at the moment, but although there's a couple of fringe players that maybe are going to move on, I wouldn't then cut the numbers down. I think the money should be reinvested.
Yeah, I'd like to think Scottish clubs don't budget for getting to the group stages if they need to go through the qualifiers, because we know how tough it can be. If you want a bit of an inside track, Hugh Keevans maybe doesn't watch as much Dutch football as you would like him to, but we did catch up earlier with Dutch football expert Michael Statham to find out the usual sort of questions: what kind of player Danilo is, how he might fit into Michael Beale's system alongside the other new attackers at the club.
He's a poacher. He has come off the bench a lot and scored loads of goals last season. His strengths are that he's a goal getter. He can shoot from distance. He is an advanced forward, a little bit like Cyril Dester's, and is a bit of a fox in the box, you might say. Sometimes he's guilty of perhaps not using his physical presence enough. He has worked on his strength, but is it consistent enough with how he used his body? And in the physical Scottish Premier League, You know, you've got to use it to your advantage when you can. Playing centrally as a striker is Danilo's main position. I've never seen him work as a two. I know that Rangers like to have two strikers up top. Danilo has only ever played like by himself. I would be interested to see him work as a two, though, with someone who's a little bit different to him. So perhaps not Dessers, because they're very similar types of strikers. But I was surprised because Dessers and Danilo, I didn't think would both sign. And I do think that Danilo was maybe a little bit overpriced for £6 million because of the lack of impact he's had with Ajax and Feyenoord in particular. What level are Rangers hoping for here with this kind of striker? It's a good signing. I don't know if it's a great one, but I do think with Cyril Dessers, on the other hand, I've rated his move quite highly. I think he has the potential to play really well for Rangers, play lots of games, score lots of goals.
Yeah, I mean, Hugh, we know what stats are like. You can almost manipulate them whichever way you want. I think it was 12 goals in 44 appearances for Feyenoord last season. There's a quote from Michael Beale saying his goals per minute ratio is very good, because you heard the other Michael Statham there on the phone saying there that, you know, he was coming off the bench to score. So clearly, although we sometimes talk about goals in appearances, maybe goals in minutes is a fairer way of looking at it.
I never thought I'd hear anyone say he's a good signing, but not a great one. If Danilo was listening to the programme, he'd say, I'll show you. Because he has to, you know, if you spend that kind of money, and I know Michael Beale is trying to play down the money, but they've spent a hefty sum on Danilo. You're looking for a great signing, not... It's a good one, but you're looking for a great signing.
Yeah, let's bring in Scott, who is another Rangers fan from Falkirk. How's it going, Scott?
Not bad. How are you doing?
Not bad at all. What are you thinking about this one then?
I'm not sure yet, because I don't know how they're going to gel. We've brought in a lot of new recruits, Dessers, Danilo, of course. We've got Rufus come back fit. The only thing I would say that's concerning me now is defensively. I watched the game and against Olympiakos, and to be honest, we've got Jekyll in defence now. Obviously, Goldson's out injured and out. Looking at things, Barisic, you know, I'm not sure if he's starting to. I don't know if he's maybe starting to move out of where he was. I think if you look at, you know, 2-3 years ago, Barisic was in peak form. I'm seeing him starting to, you know, say tire. And I know, obviously, the amount of games you play over time, fitness levels, etc., and age comes into play. But the back, and I said, we've got Jekyll. Balogun's come back. Well, I think, to be honest, we should never let him go. Balogun, I've always said that, so I'm glad he is back. Suter and Davies, for me, last year, I just don't think they were up to it. And I've said this already, I didn't think we needed Suter to start with. And I know you'll say maybe, yeah, you know, he is quite good, and for me, I know he's got his critics, but I'm one of them. We've got this Chelsea player as well, for Tavernier's position. He can also play left back, but we haven't seen him yet, so I don't know what his fitness is like. I don't know how he's going to come into play, but for me, when I watched that game, defensively between this Jekyll, which I've never seen him play before, and, you know, Rangers first team until this season, pre-season, so I don't know what people's plans is for him. And with Davies as well, and so I'm just not sure. Centre midwise, centre defence midwise, we're strong enough. I don't know. I'm just still a bit.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen a bit of this, Hugh, and you'll have heard it if you were listening to last night's show. Usual caveats about it only being pre-season aside. There was a bit of disappointment, I think, from Rangers fans given what they saw against Olympiakos. I've seen that mentioned. I've seen Borna Barisic singled out many times over the last, well, I was going to say the last couple of days, maybe longer as well, but in particular the last couple of days. There seems to have been serious surgery shown to Rangers front line, and yeah, perhaps it needed it. A lot of Rangers fans, like Scott, are maybe not quite sure about the other side of things.
I'm told by my friends who were in the press area at Rangers midweek that as the crowd left, they were letting the press guys know their feelings, and their feelings were entirely negative about Rangers' display. Barisic, for me, the concern is he just makes the same mistakes all the time now. And I wonder if his time is up at Ibrox, and if Rangers should be looking to that area As a matter of urgency.
Yilmaz is there. He's in the building. Scott, is that one you want to see explored a bit more?
Yeah, I want to see someone else given more of an opportunity. As I said, I don't know how you feel about even like Davies and even as I said, Stuart as well. Like we're gonna notice a difference with Bolton, not in the defence. People have their critics of Bolton as well, but if we look at, and I know that wasn't the whole end of things. When you look at the Rangers and the Liverpool game, especially when we go back to that, it was 1-1 at half time. But defensively, you've seen how much we're exposed, to be honest, without Bolton. If you look, I said that Chelsea players coming as well, which have not trialled. So for me, I don't know who this Yepko is. I've never heard of him before until in pre season. I just don't know if we're defensively strong enough. Midfield, we're fine. Attacking, we're going to see how it comes with Sakala, Roof, Danilo, Dessers. I think we're going to be all right in those areas. I'm just thinking defensively, we're bringing in a new keeper as well. Mm. I don't know. Butland as well. I'm going to call it out, and we'll see. I think Butland, I just don't think he's going to be up to it. I think, to be honest, and I'm going to call it out, I think McCrory's going to end up coming in.
Well, what makes you say that?
I just think Butland's, for me, I mean, everyone was saying, oh, it was a great free kick. The one that was a pre-season friendly as well, where we had won 2-1. But for me, the free kick, I think he could have got it. And I just don't think he's... It's a tough
school, this, Hugh. One free kick in pre-season and Scott's got him binned off somewhere in the campaign.
You know, I'm quick to the boil on this programme, but Scott's even better than me at it. I think it's far, far too early to speculate on whether Butland will be first choice or not. I can only assume...
He was brought in to be, wasn't he?
Without any shadow of a doubt, he didn't come here to be a player on the subs bench. So we'll have to wait and see. Ben Davies, for me, has never looked entirely comfortable in a Rangers jersey.
And do you know what's another interesting name? Because Scott is as entitled to his opinion as anyone, so I'm not for a second saying it's not accurate. My impression, having sort of followed the reaction to some of Rangers' pre-season games, was that John Souter was pleasing the Rangers fans, and they thought he was perhaps a positive to come out of it all. Maybe not Davies, maybe not Barisic, but Souter was. Scott's got a different take on it.
The start to the season is vitally important. I mean, the fourth game in is Celtic at Ibrox. For both clubs, the outcome of that match will have consequences. So Rangers can't have defensive uncertainty going into a game against Celtic. By the same token, neither can Celtic against Rangers, but that's one area of the team. You know, Scott's quite right. Middle to front, it's all new, fresh, potentially exciting. You have to underline potentially because you don't know. But at the back, there are areas of vulnerability. And you must make a positive start to the season, because if you don't, then tension starts to build.
Thank you very much to Scott in Falkirk on 01419511025. Just before we move on, let me run this past you.
Oh, you're kidding me on.
Oh, thank you. Oh, my goodness.
The cash register.
Clyde One.
What a week it has been. And we ended a full week of winners on Cash Register by dropping £50,000 straight into John's bank account.
God's sake, what do you say to that? Honest to God, it's unbelievable. I generally don't know what to say.
What do you say to that? It's a very good question, John. Now it's your chance to win £51,025 on Monday when we make the next call. So enter now, text YES to 61025. That's YES to 61025. If you get a call from us after 3 o'clock on Monday the 1st of August, answer within 5 rings, make sure you know the correct cash register amount. The texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. Online entries £2. or you can call 0330 880 4523. Calls charged at a standard rate, over 18s only, and all the rules for this Hits Radio Network Scotland competition are on our website. So to recap, £51,025 up for grabs. Text YES to 61025.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans is here. You can still give us a call. You'll have to be quick. We're on Twitter as always at Clyde SSB as well, where Scott says that Danilo's career stats, Hugh, he's played 10,155 career minutes. I'm going to count every single one of them up. And he scored 87 goals. That's one goal every 116 minutes. Convert that to number of goals per game, and it's one goal every 1.3 games, says Scott. I'm going to have to take Scott's word for that at this moment in time. I must say, Josh is also on Twitter. He says, greetings from La Cinque Terre in Italia, Gordon and Shugster. Chucked yous on the speaker while waiting to head out for some Vino Rosso. Very glad we've signed Danilo. Raging we didn't announce the signing, with McCoist saying he's a big fan of Brazilians. I think we move on very quickly from that, and hope that Josh enjoys the rest of his holiday. However, speaking of ways that you can interact with this show, big changes, big old changes for the new season. And I am excited particularly for you. Ever heard of YouTube?
No.
You're about to become a YouTube sensation. We've chipped away at it over the years.
I've heard of SpeccyTube.
We got you on Twitter. We'll try to get you in the ways of the modern world. You are going to become a YouTube sensation. From Monday, Clyde One Super Scoreboard is getting bigger and better. Not only are you going to be able to listen to the show, you're going to be able to watch it as well. Imagine the scene. You sit down to your dinner and you think, what could make this better? Ah, Hugh Keevans on the telly. So from Monday, you're going to be able to see us live in the studio on YouTube, on our Twitter feed. You can subscribe to the YouTube channel right now, actually, by searching Clyde One SSB. Keep your eyes out on our socials from Monday. But my goodness, some of your colleagues are going to have to sharpen up. No change for you, because you wear a shirt and trousers in here every night anyway, so you just come with the same thing. But some of them are going to have to scrub up.
Well, they look like bin liners, most of them. So, you know, there'll have to be some improvements made. But I've got two daughters and a wife, and they can be my
stylists,
wardrobe advisors in the coming weeks. But this is going to YouTube, or YouTube is going to destroy the one about he's got a good face for radio.
I know, that's the thing. And do you know what? We put some pictures out at Clyde SSB on Twitter last night, and on my Instagram and stuff like that, and the response has been incredible. So it's good to hear you're all looking forward to it. I'm worried about some of your colleagues, Hugh, though. I must admit, I don't know if I trust the DLs and Wilsons of the world.
Well, DL, I mean, there's the occasional food stain on his T-shirts and things of that nature. So he'll have to clean up his act, literally. And Mark Wilson, likewise. Roger Hanna's always impeccable. Mm. Another old hack, he's always impeccable.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm thinking, could Marvin Bartley's biceps be any more moisturised than they already are? Will he come in his full Queen of the South tracksuit? What will Andy Halliday's new Barnett look like? You know, the possibilities running through my head ahead of next week.
Well, Andy's Barnett saves all, because it is sensational. But I'm waiting to see Marvin Bartley come in dressed like one of the Four Tops or the Temptations, or, you know, I'm expecting some Motown wear. It'll look sensational.
Well, we will see next week. You'll be able to watch as well as listen to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. There we are. Big changes for the new season ahead. I'm looking forward to it. I know the pundits are, and hopefully you are as well. So make sure you get across that ahead of next week. YouTube, Twitter is where you can find us. And going to be interesting, to say the least. What could possibly go wrong?
Anything and
don't
everything.
Don't answer that. 0141 951 1025. That is the number you need to get in touch tonight. I mean, I asked that on Twitter last night. Why wouldn't you want to look at Shinjuku Shugwell eating your dinner? And people were generally quite generous about the idea. Not everyone, obviously. That's sort of how it works. Right, we've done a bit of Hibs. We've done a bit of Danilo. We've even had some stats sent in there that I read out from Scott. I think we've only a couple of minutes left to sort of round off on the League Cup, Hugh. It we flirted with the idea at the top of the show. I've just always become fascinated with the format because of how potentially unforgiving it is. If you are a Premiership team, you go through, you play low league opposition, no one bats an eyelid, you don't get credit for it. But if your League Cup campaign is over before a ball's even been kicked in the Premiership, it does just put a bit of a negative spin on things. You can recover. Look at St Mirren last season.
Yep.
Disastrous League Cup, went on to have a very good league season. Of course you can recover. I just don't think any manager wants to get their season up and running like that.
No, you're trying to get the feel-good factor from the word go. As I say, Stephen McLean at St Johnstone has already fallen foul.
Exactly.
And they're out of the competition. You know, others will be keen not to upset people. But I'm still thinking back to the first caller tonight, Derek, the Hibs fan, who said, well, what does it matter? You know, and there'll be plenty of people tomorrow evening after their teams have played who will be saying, well, what does it matter? It's the league that's important.
I just feel like I don't feel like it is the same for a number of reasons. But you've obviously got, which everyone knows, there's only really two avenues for our teams to even come close to silverware. And then the League Cup almost becomes even more of an incentive. You look at some of the teams that have won it, it is a trophy. I know Celtic have had a bit of a monopoly on them all recently, but if you expand the lens a bit, it is the trophy that other teams have got a sniff at. And now you really want to make this group stage count, don't you?
Well, I mean, St Johnstone no longer in the competition, but they won the League Cup recently. You know, I always go back to the day when Kilmarnock beat Celtic 1-0 at Hampden.
That was Ross County. It was the only trophy Aberdeen have won in a long time. There's loads in there.
The sensational St Mirren final against Hearts when Tommy Craig was there at St Mirren. So you must want to progress and see how far you can get. You really would rather avoid going out before the season has technically kicked off.
And then next week, that's us. We'll be back, 2 hour shows from Monday night, with everything geared towards that first Saturday of the Scottish Premiership.
Well, I think it's going to be sensational, Gordon. But, you know, Celtic and Rangers have bought so many players, spent so much money. They have enlivened the summer. Celtic were the treble winners, and perhaps that reflects on the type of buying they've been doing. Yang, Holm, Tilio, Navrocki. Navrocki, for me, is the only one who looks as if he could be in at the start of the season. I would expect he'll get game time at the Aviva Stadium in Dublin tomorrow when Celtic play Wolves. Rangers had to do what they have done, bringing in players by the barrowload, because it had gone tired and stale and unsuccessful. A trophy-less season, they can't have a second back-to-back trophy-less season, not when this kind of money has been spent.
Who am I to doubt? Producer John, who I think's given me my favourite fact of the night in the discussion about Danilo. Do you know where the only other Brazilian in Scottish football plays?
Is it Montrose?
It is Montrose, apparently. Yeah. There you go. You can take that one with you to the pub this weekend or wherever you're going. I like that. I think that is pretty much us for a frame. I can't get used to these 1 hour shows. They are so quick, they go over in the blink of an eye. But we will be back with the 2 hour version on Monday night. And my goodness, it is going to be very different for the new season. Like Hugh Keevans told you, he is about to become a YouTube sensation. Not only can you listen to us on Monday, and for those of you who do in your number, not a lot changes. If you want to listen on radio, on your smart device, on your app, you're more than welcome. Don't let me change your mind. But there is that added option for you where you can watch us on YouTube or Twitter on Monday night. So make sure you do that if it tickles your fancy. Thanks to Hugh. Thank you for all the calls, all the tweets, and for keeping us company this Friday night. It is getting closer. We've got big stuff to take care of. Transfer windows still open. We're looking forward, of course, to the League Cup games this weekend. But then next week, it is business time. We go right down to the preview of the new Premiership season, and I cannot wait. Thank you very much again for your company. We will be back Monday. Nothing across the weekend, but you might as well stay right there because the GBX is up next.